Shalom and Hag Sameach. Welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely partner in life and amazing researcher and Bible teacher and lovely woman. Is that enough? Sheila Crawford.
Really? Thank you, my dear. And shalom to you as well. We're back again. The week goes so fast. And thanks to all our listeners for tuning in. You know, this Sunday is Pentecost, so I also greet you by saying Hag Sameach, meaning have a joyous feast day. For not only was it the betrothment of Israel unto God, centuries later it would be the betrothment of the church as the bride of Christ.
And naturally, that's our main topic tonight. But first, let us open in prayer. Abba, Father, in whom you alone we trust and glorify, knowing you will be calling us home very soon. Thank you for the water of your word that not only washes us clean, but provides that added protective strength, courage, stamina, and power so very much needed in these deceptive days. We continue to lift up to you our unsaved loved ones, as well as those whom Revelation describes as the lukewarmers, having one foot still in the world, that they may encounter a deep spiritual awakening. We rebuke all demonic forces that continually tries to alter our path. We pray for the financial needs of this ministry and for all our recent prayer requests, especially for miraculous healings, both physical and mental. May you supernaturally touch them, and in spite of all that's happening in this corrupt world, keep us all in perfect peace, whose eyes are fixed on you. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Okay, as I said, Pentecost is this Sunday, June 4th. And since we'd like to review each feast when the timing is upon us, tonight we will address the fourth of the seven feasts of the Lord, or better put, appointments of the Lord, as detailed in Leviticus 23. And, like the first three, the fourth has also been fulfilled. And, of course, that was with the infilling of the Holy Spirit, as written in Acts chapter 2. So there's three more left to be literally fulfilled, which arrive every fall season. And perhaps number five will be fulfilled this year, which many say is a jubilee year.
Wouldn't that be nice? Before we get into Pentecost, and I know it's a cherry pick what news you want to cover this week.
It is. Well, our president is back in Washington. His trip was a success, in his own words. Saudi Arabia was certainly welcoming. Of course, they knew they were about to cut the largest arms deal in history. And as anticipated, NATO, of Arab countries maybe could be formed to help fight terrorism, especially ISIS. And, of course, Saudi's continuing war in the Iranian-backed Yemen.
And in appreciation of a gold medallion was placed around President Trump's neck, which is considered the kingdom's highest civilian honor.
So things seem good.
Yep, all right. Then on to Israel.
Well, still no mention of moving the U.S. embassy.
No, not much of a surprise there.
Right. But President Trump was well received. However, the entire Israeli security establishment is worried.
It should be.
By Trump's Saudi arms deal, because these extremely high-powered weapons are only inches away from Sunni terrorists.
They should be concerned.
Correct.
And isn't Trump upset with Abbas?
Yes, because when Abbas was in Washington a few weeks ago and assured our president that he was committed to peace.
Yeah, you know, I remember that.
Mm-hmm. But now, according to an Israeli TV report, Trump yelled at Abbas saying, and I quote here, "You tricked me in D.C. You talked there about your commitment to peace, but the Israelis showed me your continued involvement in incitement." So Trump is said to have shouted this at a stunned Abbas. The TV report said the outburst was followed by several minutes of shocked silence from the Palestinians, and that the meeting was very tense before the two sides managed to get back on track.
How sweet is that?
Sweet. However, Palestinian sources denied the report, saying the meeting was good and to the point, and so on we go.
All right. Then on to Rome.
No, President Trump did not kiss the Pope's ring like President Bush did.
Thank God.
They had a very private 30-minute meeting, and on his way out, Trump apparently said to Pope Francis that he would remember what he has been told. And that's all we got on that. But one can only imagine, knowing what I think of Pope Francis.
Yeah, things didn't go so well in Europe.
In Europe, no. Of course, that depends on who you listen to. But Germany's Angela Merkel said, "We can no longer rely on America." Wow. Now, Trump's major message was for NATO nations to pay its fair share, which Obama never pushed them to do.
Well, of course not. He always wanted to raise our debt.
And he did, like by 86%. Yep. A lot of pork and needless programs. Congress even allowed government employees to spend our tax dollars on items that they should have personally been responsible for, like jewelry, gambling, iPods, exotic dance clubs, and $13,000 steak dinners.
And why not? Congress was doing it. And now they're about to cut Social Security and raise the age of ability.
Right.
Eligibility.
Yeah, so we get hooked on it. Oh. Oh, well, anyway.
All right, how about a short recap of the Lord's first fulfilled appointments?
Okay, but first, could you let our new listeners know how they might contact us? And before you do that, let me give a quick answer to a specific letter from last week. The answer is yes. We will come to your church to give an end-time message or even just a question-and-answer session, and here's how to reach us.
Okay, a couple of ways. Either by email to Sheila at shofarministry.net or call the office and leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Love offerings are very much appreciated. Or you can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all our past radio and teaching letters are archived for your learning pleasure, which automatically puts you on our mailing list for reading any current updates. And this Friday, we will be at Chester Christian Center, 11815 Chillicothe Road. That's Route 306 in Chesterland, Ohio, at 7 p.m.
And just a quick statement. Thank you for your favorable response to the Seth Rich synopsis given last week. Unfortunately, the far left got to Sean Hannity, who said on last week's program he can no longer comment on this case due to the request of Seth's family. Now, you need to do your own research on this, but it is a perfect example of demonic corruption. Also, should you have DirecTV on Channel 347, they have some good news coverage now that so far seems truthful and accurate, since it looks like Fox is actually caving into advertisers that are clearly pro-left, many owing allegiance to George Soros.
Okay, good old George. Of course, the first fulfilled appointment was, of course, Passover.
That's right, number one. Jesus said, shed his own blood on Passover. Historically, it was in Egypt. The blood of the lamb was applied on the wood around the door. Then, Jesus was buried with our sins on the Feast of Unleavened Bread. On the same date, they left Egypt's slavery to a new life. And Jesus rose on the Feast of the First Fruits of the Barley Harvest, which is the anniversary of the Hebrews escaping through the Red Sea, which halted their enemies as Jesus did for us when he arose.
And as stated by Paul, he is the first fruits of the resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15:20.
That he is. And the fourth feast is Pentecost Sunday, when he sent the Holy Spirit to those believers in Jerusalem giving his betrothed bride supernatural power over our enemy. Officially speaking, this was the birth of the church as a whole. Now the bride, just like the Hebrews, became betrothed at Mount Sinai on the first Pentecost, which came 50 days after the crossing of the Red Sea.
So, you know, the first four fruits have literally been fulfilled by Jesus.
First four feasts?
Feast. What did I say?
Fruits.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. They're fruits. Okay. Anyway, and as sure as I am speaking this to you tonight, we can assuredly know that Jesus will keep his last three appointments scheduled in a fall season some year as well.
Amen to that.
So the Feast of Pentecost must always be on a Sunday. So let's read scripture to verify that. It's Leviticus 23:15-17.
And you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath,
which is a Sunday,
from the day you brought the sheaf of the wave offering,
which would have been the first fruits of the barley, which was the resurrection day, and also always on a Sunday.
Seven Sabbaths shall be completed. Count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath, then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord.
So again, it's always on a Sunday. And the reason I tell you this is because today, Jews do not follow the Sunday rule. They count from the high Sabbath of unleavened bread instead. So, first fruits seldom falls on a Sunday. Thereby, Pentecost seldom falls on a Sunday either. The reason, some say, is because we consider first fruits the day of Christ's resurrection. And they want to distance themselves from that. And in fact, they don't even talk about first fruits anymore.
Again, very unscriptural.
Amen to that. So, 50 days after the first fruits of the barley wave offering comes the Feast of Weeks, or in Hebrew is Shavuot, also known as Pentecost because of the 50 days.
Since Pente means five.
Right. Continue in your last verse 17.
Okay. Ye shall bring out of your habitations two wave loaves of two-tenths of an ephah.
Now, that was the standard of measurement in those days to equal about a gallon of grain.
They shall be of fine flour.
And of course, that just means finely sifted.
And they shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord.
So now the wheat was starting to come in and would continue till the end of fall.
Now, eating with leaven gives us a very special insight.
Oh, it really does. You know, God told the Israelites that during the first three feasts of every year, they could only eat unleavened bread.
You know, leaven's always a type of sin.
Right. It's always. And Jesus was without sin, the unleavened bread from heaven, who would take away the sins of the world. But now, on the day of Pentecost, they could eat leavened bread. Why? Because he took our leaven to the grave. And now we are free from the bondage that sins produce and are now set free from the debt of sin that must be paid. And those who are not the bride of Christ will pay their own debt in hell.
A stupid alternative.
Mm-hmm. And another gold nugget is that they were to offer two loaves of leavened bread to represent that both Jews and Gentiles can be recipients of God's added grace. Let me reinforce that one more time. Pentecost reinforces his promises to us. Sin and its consequences are no longer a burden to carry.
The ultimate sacrifice has been achieved.
Praise the King.
Mm-hmm.
Now it is being said from some teachers that the rapture will occur on a Pentecost some year. And, by the way, if you don't say a year, then you're not really setting a date. But, however, I happen to think that the rapture is likely to occur on the next appointment to be fulfilled, which is Rosh Hashanah or Feast of Trumpets. Same thing. But, of course, I cannot give a year because I don't know. And besides, Rosh Hashanah, or Feast of Trumpets, lasts for 2 days. So I can't even say which day, and certainly not a literal hour, which the text suggests is an exact moment of time. Anyhow, I said all that to say that not only has Pentecost been fulfilled with the arrival of the Holy Spirit, it is not the day that Paul said we would be taken. He gave us the idiom for Rosh Hashanah or Feast of Trumpets in 1 Corinthians 15:51. And it was the first time that he was so specific. And in fact, he preceded it with the knowledge that he was about to reveal a mystery, which means he hadn't said it before. And then he said that we will be changed in a twinkling of an eye at the last trump. There are three idioms or expressions used often in the first century and taught to Paul in the school of Hillel. The three idioms are the first trump, the last trump, which, by the way, is not the seventh trump of Revelation. And then there's the great trump. Now, allow me to explain. 50 days after escaping Pharaoh's army at the Red Sea, God gave Moses and the Israelites his Torah commandments, as well as his promises that they would remain faithful to him only. You know this. On this day, God blew for all to hear the first shofar ever recorded in the Bible. And you can read that in Exodus 19. Thus, the expression, first shofar, became an idiom, or another name for Pentecost. And as I said, was a betrothal covenant like an oath between God and his people. In Exodus 24, it says the people answered, all the words that Yahweh has said, we will do. So it was like saying, I do. And it's the same with us. When we become born again, we enter into a betrothal agreement with Jesus. Now, in Jewish law, the betrothment was legally binding except for adultery. The last trump, also an idiom, is the one associated with Rosh Hashanah or Feast of Trumpets due to the fact they would blow 100 shofar blasts on Rosh Hashanah, and the last one made it official, so this feast became known as the last trump. Get it? And the great trump, or the other shofar idiom, was blown on Yom Kippur, especially important in a Jubilee year, according to Leviticus 25. So anyhow, to say the resurrection slash rapture is on the day of the first trump, when we have Scripture saying it's the last trump, I must go along with Scripture. Okay, here comes another gold nugget. After Jesus' resurrection and being seen for 40 days and getting ready to ascend to the Father, he told his disciples to tarry in Jerusalem for 10 more days, because then he would keep his fourth appointment of the seven by sending them the Comforter. But have you ever wondered, since we are seeing how important dates are to God, what might have happened in the wilderness 40 days after they left Egypt, which is 10 days before Pentecost, which, by the way, on their calendar is ER or Ziph 25. Either name is fine. Well, anyway, I started wondering. So I carefully calculated from the book of Exodus, and you can do this as well because it's very interesting, that just a few days before Ziph 25, or the 40th day, after much complaining, if you read it, it's in Exodus around 17, after much complaining, the Hebrews received, remember, the manna from heaven, picture of Jesus, and it tasted like honey. And then the next day they were told about the rock that would give them their water of life, which Jesus is the word and the water and the rock. And then the next day, on the 40th day, when Jesus would later go up to heaven, was the probable day that Moses led his men in the fight against the Amalekites. In Exodus 17, remember, when he held up his arms, they would be winning, but if he put his arms down, they would be losing. So Aaron held up his arms for him. Well, that lifting up of one's hands is forming God's initial, called the Sheen, which is the first letter in Shaddai. And to us, it looks like a W in English. Obviously, God won that battle for them, because when their hands were up, they would win. And by the way, the Amalekites were the descendants of the Nephilim in the territory called Rephidim. Yeah, that's for another day. Anyway, there is more to that gold nugget. The 40th day from his resurrection, when Jesus ascended into heaven. But what was he doing when he ascended? According to Luke 22:50, Jesus raised his arms and blessed the people. And then Mark adds that in his name, he also gave them power over demons. Again, by raising up your hands, you are using the name of God, which is why Paul in 1 Timothy 2 commands all men to lift up holy hands. Does it make sense? Pentecost also marks the anniversary of the end of the Six-Day War when Israel won back Jerusalem. Again, a type of their win over the Amalekites in the same time frame many centuries before. It's just really amazing. It really is. Oh, and this is real cool. The divided tongues of fire in Acts chapter 2 that landed on the believers. Well, I saw a picture of that, and yes, it looks just like a sheen, a fancy W. God placed his initial on them as his seal of the Holy Spirit. Now, how cool is that? This sheen, S-H-I-N is how it's spelled, that represents his name, is also in Jerusalem, placed there with the three major valleys that are embedded into the landscape. It helps you really understand how God said to make sacrifices in the place where I have chosen to put my name, 1 Kings 11 and Deuteronomy 16. Also, the Jewish people read the Torah more intensely during Pentecost. Well, because it commemorates them receiving their law of instructions. But another tradition which began later is the reading of the Scroll of Ruth. Why, you might ask? Because the fact, well, also she was David's great-grandmother, but besides that, it tells the story of Ruth, a Gentile falling in love with Israel and the people, who marries the Jewish man Boaz, a picture of our marriage to Jesus, the kinsman redeemer, who redeemed back the land for her Jewish mother-in-law, as Jesus will do for all of us soon. But this story is a great type of how we, the church, are to feel about Israel too, to embrace Israel like Ruth did. That is, if we truly love Jesus. For now we are no longer just a Gentile, but a born-again believer with a new name called Christian. And one day, all Israel will be saved and have the name of Christian as well. Please get a hold of that. Read it. Romans 11, 26, Galatians 3, 28. So, this Sunday, especially read the book of Ruth as a family to your children. Let them be a part of all this. Let them know what Pentecost is really all about. It's not just Acts chapter 2. A lot happened before, and it's all typology. Now, do you have the blood of Jesus flowing through your heart? How well do you know him? Is he personal to you? If not, you can invite him in right now. Right now. Jesus is your only Savior who has totally paid your debt for your sins. Grab it now while you can. Of course, unless you prefer to pay the debt yourself. It's always your choice. I'd like to leave you now with the Aaronic blessing from Numbers 6, 22 through 27. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha ye'er Adonai panav v'lecha v'yunecha. Yasei Adonai panav v'lecha v'yisem l'ha shalom. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for your president and pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love Jerusalem shall prosper. See you next time.
thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.